and open would to Psalm 95. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And actually, I'm only going to read a part of verse 7. The remainder of the psalm we have looked at a few weeks ago in our study of the book of Hebrews, when we talked about God's people hardening their hearts. And one of the reasons why they hardened their hearts is because they were not thankful for all of the blessings that God had bestowed upon them as they were traveling in the wilderness. This particular psalm is attributed to David. It is one of 76 other psalms that God blessed him to give unto us. The psalmist writes, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture." Father God, thank you that you are our God. Not often enough do we take the time to praise you and to thank you in that manner. May this day be different as we look upon your goodness and your mercy. May we all come to the understanding that first and foremost, we need to be happy and thankful because of you. Bless us now as we look into your word. Father, we would ask as always, put a hedge about the sanctuary that we might freely glean your word into our hearts, that we would better worship you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would hide me, your servant, behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and that your words will go forth, being blessed solely by you, and accomplish what you desire. Thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, my wife and I want to wish each and every one of you a happy and a very safe Thanksgiving. And we also pray that as you are in the company of family and friends, that God may use you to tell family and friends of the goodness of God through the person of Jesus Christ. Truly, we have a lot to be thankful for. I am grateful that we had a president many years ago who made a decision that as a country, we ought to be thankful to the highest power, our God. So it was on October the 3rd, 1863, when President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the fourth Thursday of November to be officially National Thanksgiving Day. Our nation was in turmoil during that era. No truer words were ever spoken by a president than the following of Abraham Lincoln. I quote, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, and too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness, unquote. I wonder if a president today could even utter those very same words before our nation, because we have become so indifferent toward God. But Abraham Lincoln was just rebuking a nation for not being a thankful people, just as David exhorted Israel as king to come and worship and bow before the rock of your salvation. Counting our blessings, as we just sang, is excellent counsel. But you know, sometimes we have to be reminded to recognize the blessings. Amen? And I think that's because we're human beings, and as human beings we are frail and fragile, and we often think on our needs more than we think about the goodness of our God who has blessed us with so much. An illustration of that is a man who, he owned a small estate, but he wished to sell it. So he sent for a real estate agent and he asked him to write up an advertisement describing his land and his house. And so the real estate agent wrote up the advertisement. And when the ad was ready, the agent took it to this owner who read it. And he said, Read that to me. And the agent read it. And after he read it, he said, I've been looking for an estate like that all my life. Didn't know I owned it. Count your blessings. Sometimes we're looking so much at the forest, we don't see the trees. Truly, we don't need more to be thankful for. Amen? We just need to be more thankful. I don't have enough time this morning to teach you all there is about being thankful. And as I prepared the sermon, I thought, maybe I could try to cram it all in. Then I realized that won't work. So I picked the three most vital subjects in relationship to being thankful. First, we must begin with an attitude of gratitude. It starts with your attitude, my attitude. A good attitude toward life begins with gratitude always towards Almighty God. Too often we're patting ourselves on the back. You know, a biblical review of the national life of Israel provides abundant proof of just how costly a lack of thankfulness can be. You and I have been studying the book of Hebrews, and we're on the fourth chapter. And when we were in the third chapter, we looked at Psalm 95 in verse 8 through 11, because it was a reference quoted by the writer of Hebrews, which exhorted the people of God not to harden their hearts. And do you know how our hearts get hardened? They become hardened when we forget to be thankful to God. So an attitude of gratitude is paramount. When the Israeli people forgot to publicly recognize the goodness of Almighty God, its forgetfulness was always accomplished by spiritual and national decline. And if we're not careful in the United States of America, the very same thing could happen here in our homeland. As other preachers and theologians have said, lest God would have to apologize to Israel. Psalm 95, as I said, is attributed to David, and he exhorts God's people, and by that includes you and I, as we look at this from a historic perspective and look at it as the Word of God, to be thankful and to always give praise to God. I know it's not always easy, and that's one of the subject matters that I think we need to address. But David begins in verses 1 and 2 just simply saying that we're to come and let us sing unto the Lord. Know why we sing when you come to church? Because God delights in His children lifting up their voices and praising Him. So I don't know if I like that. Well, you'll never, ever be happiest ever in your life apart from doing that which the Creator created you to do. You say, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other thing. Well, go ahead, but you won't be happy. You can't be happy unless you're doing the will of God. God created you. Now, He gave you a free will. But theologians have come to the conclusion, and so did the great Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, that the chief end of man, the purpose of the creation of humanity, of man himself, is that he glorifies his Creator. And God delights in us glorifying Him in songs and psalms. So David exhorts Israel, as he's at the height of his power, and yet he is fearful that this nation might harden their heart against Almighty God as they did in the provocation. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I kind of think that's added there after it talks about, you know, come and let us sing, because there's some of us who can't sing, like myself, and we just make a joyful noise. And God's okay with that. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. What's the first thing that we're to come with? Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. Yes. And make a joyful noise unto Him with praise. You can't really get to praising until you get to be thankful. Do you ever think about that? How can you praise God until you start to count your blessings? Well, gee, here I am, 65 years old, I'm still breathing. Praise God. Start there. Thank God. And you can take up quite a lot of time counting your blessings. And when you count them, it'll ultimately lead you to say, praise you, Father. Thank you, God. David mentions three things we should be thankful for. And the first one, as we looked at verses 1 and 2, is that Jehovah God deserves our worship. He is the Creator. He is the sustainer of life. He gave you life. He also gave you free will to choose how to live it. But he so desires that you choose to love him and praise him and to be in fellowship with him. You know, years ago, a social analyst, I won't mention his name, not in my pulpit, but he did observe this, that America was now a country where the center of life in our cities is no longer concentrated in places of worship. But rather, he saw that kind of worship in huge sports complexes. You know what he was saying? Is that people will give of themselves and give praise to celebrities and sports figures before they will give it unto God. It is always interesting to me that folks can sit an hour and 15 minutes in church and get upset if we go overtime. And yet, I have been in stadiums myself and sat for hours watching a ball game. Some of you have been to concerts and you're there for hours. And it's interesting how we can raise our voice and scream for the team. Not one of them can bless you like God. We have more time, more energy, more money to put into going to the theater, where, by the way, we sit for hours too, and personal entertainment than we have to invest in God. That is why the social analyst said he sees how the concentration of society has moved from the church, from the places of worship, to other places. We are informed not to have any other God before Almighty God. And so that's the first thing we ought to be thankful for, that He is our God. And if we're thankful, we ought to worship Him in that way. Now, I'm not here saying it's wrong to go to a theater to see something good or to be at a ball game. In fact, I saw the Nationals get beat in Washington this year. Big waste of my time, though. But anyway, I did it, didn't I? A couple hours, maybe 2.5 hours. But never would I sell out being in the house of God. Sitting in service to worship to some is unconscionable if it goes over the set amount of time. And yet, we don't seem to say much when it's a ball game. So, oh, well, they have intermission. So do we. Just had intermission. God deserves our thankfulness and failure to recognize that God alone is the giver of all good things is fatal to us as individuals, and it's fatal to us as a nation. For everything has come by the hand of Almighty God. By the way, it was the custom of our forefathers, we call them the pilgrims of the days of the colonies, that regular occasions were dedicated to Thanksgiving. They would get together and just have a Thanksgiving for God sending rain. Rain was important to the pilgrims to water their crops. And they would have a Thanksgiving to praise Him for the abundant harvest. We have fallen away from having those times of Thanksgiving but once a year. I'm thankful to the Lord we have a national holiday. I've said it before, if we did not have it by this particular time in history, we'd probably never have it. we should remind ourselves that thanksgiving, being thankful, is the essence of Christian living. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Being unthankful, having an attitude of ingratitude, which is the opposite of this first point, is the very essence of an unregenerate heart. And that's what begins our spiritual decline as individuals. That's what begins a spiritual decline as a nation. So, well, that's your opinion. No, that's biblical history. We're studying the book of Hebrews and we recognize that the writer of Hebrews rebuked his readers because they were beginning to have the same attitude as those of their forefathers. God had blessed them, brought them out of the house of bondage. He parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. He defeated their enemy, the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. He fed them in the wilderness. He gave them guidance with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And yet they rebelled and complained and grumbled against Almighty God and His servants, Moses and Aaron. They were unthankful that God fed them with what the Bible describes as angel food. And you read that in the Psalms. Manna from heaven. And then the abundance of quail because they cried for meat. And yet, they still hardened their hearts because they weren't thankful. Let me show you where the Apostle Paul, keep your finger in Psalm 97 and go to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you where Paul, in the Epistle to the Romans, talks about how people with an attitude of ingratitude bring their own condemnation. Verse 21 of chapter 1, after Paul describes God, that He is a great God, and the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. In other words, there's evidence everywhere of Almighty God. And then verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, you can't look at the universe at night on a cloudless night and see those stars and not have your breath taken away from you and say, oh God, I praise you for the awesomeness of your creation. And I think one day when we have spiritual bodies, we're going to enjoy all of the creation of God. But because of that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Note the next phrase. Neither were what? Thankful. That's where it begins. You know God. You know that everything has come by His hand. You know that He is sovereign. Some things are going on in your life maybe you're not happy with. And so you become ungrateful. And that begins a spiritual decline. They were not thankful, but they became vain in their imagination and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Fools to erect false gods. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And the rest of the chapter talks about their condemnation. But this verse, verse 25, brings me to the second point of Psalm 95 in our passage. So go back there. The second one is to thank God for His power. In verse 3, David says, for the Lord is a what? Great God. and a great king above all God. In Romans, it said they defied God. They weren't thankful to Him. They didn't recognize Him. And so they erected their own gods. How'd that work out for them? David exhorts the Israelites. And because, again, this is the inspiration of God, we're exhorted to exalt and worship Almighty God. For in His hand, verse 4, are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills. This is also, it's talking about everything that you see, all that is physically manifest before your eyes was wrought by God. The sea. I am still, after 65 years of living, at awe when I go to the shore. And just to hear the roaring of the waves and that immense ocean and the depths of it. It's fantastic. And to know, but it is but a speck in the eyes of God. He says, oh, come, let us worship. Because God is an all-powerful being. He says that God is a great king above the gods. Interesting, isn't it? Because there are false gods, especially in David's day. This is not an admission that other gods actually exist. Now, I am going to say this. There are demonic forces, entities, fallen angels that act as a god, right? But those of you who are students of the Word know they are not God. They are created beings. No one created God. He has always existed. Angels are not gods. But certainly the rebellious and fallen ones desire your worship just as Satan does. He wants to usurp all worship from the one and true and living God to himself. And we are embroiled in that battle even now. God is all powerful in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. None of these fallen angels and demons are more powerful than God. There is a spiritual warfare going on, but greater is He that's in who? You. 1 John 4:4. So God is all powerful. He is King of kings and Lord of lords because He is Lord over the spiritual world, but He is also all powerful in the physical realm. And David is saying that God is the greatest and most powerful being in the universe because He created it all. Too often, religion teaches that when you die, you go back to the universe, which you go back to kind of like being a part of God. That's heresy. God exists outside of time and space as you know it. Before God created the earth and the universe, there was no such thing as time. He exists outside of time and space. It's interesting that one of our supposedly great intellects of our time who just recently passed away acknowledged before he died that somehow all that we see, all that we can touch was created by some intelligent force outside of time and space. He wouldn't bring himself to say God. But who else would that be? So God is all powerful in the spiritual realm, verses 3 to 6. He is all powerful in the physical realm because He has created it and He controls it. Last, David also says that we should be thankful that God seeks a personal relationship with us. Look at verse 7. After again he exhorts the Israelites, and again us, to come worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is what? Our God, and we are the people of His pasture. David says, He's God, He is the great shepherd, and we are the sheep. Of course, in the original, he is speaking of Israel, but of course we understand all saved individuals are sheep in the pasture of the great shepherd. That's why the Lord Jesus is known as the great shepherd. Take your finger and hold your place and turn to Psalm 23, which many of us know to be the shepherd's psalm. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Do you know sheep are dumb? Yeah. I was reading the other day that sheep are so dumb that they will look up when it's rain, and if the shepherd didn't caution them, they could literally drown themselves. A sheep will feed from the grass, and when he's done eating the grass, if the shepherd don't move him, he'll eat the dirt. We need the great shepherd. Because if we're honest and transparent before God, sometimes we're dumb like sheep. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. Have you thanked him for that? He's your great shepherd. He feeds us spiritually and physically. Because he maketh us to lie down in green pastures. That's what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd leads the sheep to where the grass is high, where they can feed. And he continues to move the sheep, lest they eat that patch of grass and then start eating the dirt. A good shepherd watches over the sheep. Because they need guidance. They need to be shepherded. They need to be cared for. And so the great shepherd, he also leadeth the sheep beside the still waters. It wouldn't be a good shepherd if he took a great flock of sheep and there's this running white water. Go get it, guys! They would drown. And they would drown themselves. No, the good shepherd leads the sheep by the still water, where they can go in and refresh themselves. And that's what God wants to do as your great shepherd. And by doing so, he restores our soul. But that refreshing of the soul won't come until you're thankful that He's your God, that He's your great shepherd. And because He is, you shall not want, because He leads you to places to feed spiritually and physically. Yes, and He's going to be there. Not just all the days of our lives, but even after. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is no evil on the other side for all who are God's children. Sheep of His pasture. He has prepared a place for you. And He has assigned angels to come and to take you into His presence. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And yes, we go through hard times. And even in the hard and difficult times, our Father desires our praise and thankfulness. Because although thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. When we do what God desires, Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, and God is pleased when you thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. That's a wonderful verse to memorize, by the way. Surely goodness, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is Lord over the spiritual. Someday we will be spiritual beings. Yes, we will have glorified bodies, but they will be spiritual like Jesus' body was. We'll not be held back by the laws of nature. We will exceed those laws beyond anything that we can imagine. Are we thankful for eternal life? When was the last time that you thanked God just for being saved? You know, you don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be saved. We've been saved because He's a merciful God. It's not according to our riches. It's not according to our righteousness that He saved us, but according to His mercy. We ought to be thankful for the mercy of God. The Old Testament speaks quite a bit about thanksgiving and how important it was for every individual who claimed the name of Jehovah. But the New Testament does too, and I want to close with just showing a few important verses. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. And maybe it would do us well to back up just one verse, put it in context. But verse 20 is the reference that I want to refer to, because the second point is that we're to give thanks in everything. And that might be hard for some of us to assimilate. But know what it says in verse 19 to the church, to God's people, to His sheep. We're to be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We come together Wednesday night. That's what we do. We gather together and we look into the Psalms. The Psalms are written by God, to be honest with you. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He's used individuals. But there are songs. In fact, the Hebrews put all of the Psalms to music. We don't have those original musical notes. There are some that Israel has, but very few. But we have many songs that we sing that glorify God. And when we come together, we're to give praise and thanksgiving to God through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. That's worship. That's why we do what we do when we come to church. And then verse 20, giving thanks, what? That next word. Always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we always pray in the name of the Lord Jesus because it is a blessing to the Father. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in the 5th chapter, the 18th verse, he said, in everything, give thanks. But he didn't stop there. And this is the part that really needs to be driven home. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Me. It's God's will that we give thanks. Thankfulness is foundational to the Christian life. Thankfulness is a conscious response from looking beyond our blessing to their source, which is Almighty God. Thanksgiving is the outward and inward communication of how grateful that we are for all the things God has given us. I want to close, but before I do, I just want to clarify. I understand there are times that life brings tragedy. That sometimes this life and this world that we live in brings things our way that are unpleasant. But despite our trials and sufferings, we are told to give thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the will of God your Father. We all understand and appreciate, I'm sure, the importance of gratitude. It can radically change relationships, and it can radically change your attitude. The person who's embittered because of life's harsh circumstances will not find the happiness that God desires. We don't give thanks. The Bible doesn't say we give thanks for everything, but in everything. Read it carefully. We give thanks in everything, meaning we recognize God's sovereign hand is in charge. And it's not by blind faith or chance. And that this is God's will. So we can do it. You'll never have the therapy for your soul to help you through the hard times if you don't do it. Practicing the art of thanksgiving is spiritual therapy. And it will get you through the most difficult times in your life. Let's have every head bow, every eye closed. Father, I know as I speak to this audience that all here do know You, have confessed Christ as their Savior. But if there is one, maybe who has not, that this morning they would recognize You are a merciful, loving Father, and You have provided eternal life and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May we accept Father Jesus right now if we've never acknowledged our sinfulness and the penalty of sin. May we acknowledge the need for Christ to come into our lives. So I pray if there's anyone unsaved today, that today would be the day of their salvation. And then give thanks to God because it's not God's suggestion. It is God's will that we do. For us who are Christians, may we be reminded by our Holy Spirit that an attitude of thanksgiving refreshes our soul even in the harshest circumstances of life. Father, help all of us. Start with me, Lord God, that I would look to be more thankful. To thank You for all, for this congregation, for this church, for this ministry, for this wonderful privilege to be a pastor. May all of us focus today on Thanksgiving, not just Thursday. May it be a part of every day of our lives. Give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take your songbook and we're going to sing a very, very old Christian hymn. Now we thank all our God. This song was written by a man of God who saw many, 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 many young people die from disease in the orphanages in York. And yet God laid this song on his heart. Let's stand as we close our service singing 592, the first stanza only.